And that's obvious for a number of reasons, because as you will find as we get started and begin, that romance is different from person to person and couple to couple. And I want to find out how it varies among this group. And that's the reason why I've done so much research, ask you to participate and help me, because this audience would be different than an audience, let's say, in Houston, or an audience, let's say, in Chicago. One of the things that was very affirmative about the results that I got in here is that all of you have hope for your romantic side of your relationship. None of you, there was not one person in here, and I'm assuming that you were being honest, not one of you, in totaling up the results, would indicate that your romantic life is in serious, serious trouble. There are some adjustments that need to be made, and we'll try to talk about that and get you to move on a few action items right away, because it's just that simple. But now, to help me out just a little bit more, I want you all as a couple to help me out here. I don't want to know everybody's ages, but basically speaking, like Betsy and I, for example, I want our ages would be, we're between 40 and 50, 41 and 50. So I want to just go right around this audience real quickly, and as a couple, I want you to tell me what your chronological age is, and then I want to know how long you've been married. So I'm going to do Betsy and me first. We're in our 40s, and we have been married between 1 and 10 years. Okay? Well, between 0 and 10 years. We're not even up to 1 yet. By the way, the reason why that's important is because when you have not been married even 1 year, your attitude toward romance is going to be different than, I'm going to use EB and Colleen. How many years, EB, help me out, what's your, 61 plus, okay, I'll put that in there. No. Yeah, your age, and your marriage, I know, is, you're 50, okay. But what I'm saying is that your expectations for romance are probably going to be a little bit different than Betsy's and mine. But there's something just absolutely central to understand, is that romance is romance is romance is romance. It just doesn't really change that much. Expectations change a little bit, though, as you mellow. I think that was a word that was used. You mellow together. Okay? All right. In other words, I'm saying that Mr. and Mrs. Vance probably, who are deeply in love with each other, look at romance a little bit differently than when they were right here. All right? And yet, it's going to be interesting. The things that were important then are still going to be important now. They just learn to do different things. We're going to talk about that. All right, so I'm going to need you to go right around the room. So get ready. We'll start right here. Dennis and Paula. There's always one. Every time. All right. Well, okay. Well, we'll go. Care about it. Can I go 31, 40 and feel safe? Go older? 41 to 50? Who's the prominent romantic influence in this relationship? So we'll go with 31 to 40. How's that? Okay. And the length of your marriage? How long have you been married? 16 years. Okay. Mr. and Mrs. Marlowe? Okay. 45 years. Okay. Oh, sorry. Help me out there. Okay. No, there's a lot of negotiation going on here. The Widmers are, let's see. Okay, so you're in your 50th year then. You're not quite 51. We'll go with, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. We'll go with 50. How's that? And how long have you all been married? Okay. 31 to 40? 14 years, okay? And how long have you been married? 5 years, okay, right there. Right on around? Yes, sir. 41 to 50. How long have you been married? 15 years. Okay. 28 years. Okay. Okay. Zero to 10. Okay. Yes, sir. Mr. Alley? Ancient, okay. And 41 to 50 in years, okay. Okay. And 18 years, okay. Yes, sir. 51 to 60? 0 to 10. The Vances we got already? The Browns? Are you telling the truth? You are, okay. And Eleven to 20 is safe, okay? Good. Yes? Been a lifetime to 25. 21 to 30 is a safe number. Okay? Oh, a youngster up here, okay? 0 to 10, okay? All right, good. And the Watkinses? 41 to 50? And married 25 years. Okay. That's... Oh, yeah, the Gettys. Yes. What's the age? 60 plus. I don't keep track of age. And how long have you been married? 15 years. All right, that's going to help us a little bit. And the other thing is that we need to take a show of hands. How many of us in here in second marriages? Remember, Mr. Dart asked for that. I want to take a count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 second marriages. Okay, 6 second marriages. Okay, that's important. For those of us who are in our second marriages, are you doing your second one differently than you did your first? Okay. I'd like to take just a moment from those six people, and if you are, yes, I want everybody else to hear it, because that's probably got a lot to do with romanticism. Okay? You're doing yours differently? How are you doing it differently? Paying more attention to your wife. Okay? All right. Anything else you'd like to add to that? And you're paying more attention to him. Try to be more submissive. All right, we won't ask how you're doing. We'll assume it's well. Okay? That's good. The Browns. More communication in terms of talking to each other. Okay, anything else? Yes. Is that right, buddy? Okay. You're not going to answer on that. Okay. All right, anyone else like to chime in on that? Because I was thinking about something I'd like to pass on to you that Betsy and I are doing differently. Yes, sir. Mr. Knight? Oh. A different outlook toward marriage? Okay, the church has helped your marriage? Okay. In what way has the church helped you, the two of you? Can we come to a consensus opinion on that? How did the church, does it make you more knowledgeable, greater awareness? You feel accountability? In other words, what part did the church play in all this? Hang on a second. Oh, you think that's because you've learned, or you've grown older, or you're in the church, or quit drinking? Okay. That'll have a lot to do with it. You can recognize your wife when you get home. That's good. All right. But the point is that you come into the church, and maybe because of Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 7, these other verses we've been talking about, it all gets in here little bit by little bit, and it brings about a change. Okay? The Knights, any comment? A commitment to marriage. So now you feel you have a commitment to marriage to make it work. Okay, good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And because of that, you're going to work harder at being the mate that you ought to be. Okay? Yes, sir. Yeah. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Good, that's a good comment. Let me tell you one of the things that ties in with what Larry was talking about, and this is a, I don't know if most men are this way, I'm assuming we are. I've listened to a lot of you talk, and I've enjoyed immensely the time we've had together this weekend. One of the things which I learned about my first marriage, which was a flag in my second marriage, is I got very busy in the first marriage. I got so busy that unbeknown to me, I probably did neglect my wife. Interesting, not my family, my wife. Because I always had time for the kids, but I'm not sure I had enough time for my wife. Because she was adult, she was mature, she was supposed to understand. And yet, who needed my time as much as the kids? My wife did. So when Betsy and I decided to get married, I thought, well, I'm not going to let that happen again. So when we were getting engaged, which was a whole new story, and I won't just tell you all about it now, because like Larry, there are things you don't want to reveal. But I decided that I did not want to go through my new marriage without giving Betsy a way to get my attention in a nice way. Because one of the things which I don't do, you know, Mr. Dart was talking about these things earlier that they don't do, the Darts don't do. One of the things I will not do in my marriage, in my relationship, and I have never done it, is I will not yell. Yelling is out. I don't yell at my dog. When I had one, I don't yell at anybody. I try not to yell. Maybe I've violated that on occasion. Yelling is not a part of my way of doing things. So I thought, well, what can I do to give Betsy a way to get my attention in a nice way, rather than her meeting me at the door, you know, being gruff and all this type of thing, which is oftentimes what occurs when they're so frustrated. Mr. Watkins was talking about that. So I decided that when we got engaged, part of our engagement ceremony, because we had really a special get-together, is I presented her with a candle. It's what you've seen, these large candles, these big candles like this, or about this big around. It's called a union candle. It had two little wicks on it. And part of our engagement was I had the candles lit, both wicks, because the concept was is two become one, which seems to be biblical. And I had that lit, and I asked Betsy to marry me, and she finally said yes after making me wonder all those months. But I told her, I said, any time, Betsy, that the reason why this is important, any time you need to get my attention, I mean really get my attention, light this candle. You know, just light the candle. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to leave me a note. Just light the candle, and I'll see it. And I will know it's pretty important. Now we've got candles all over the house. But we have still yet not lit this big candle, which was our union candle. Now, one of these days we may. And when she does, and here's the other thing, I've got the right to light it too. Because I told her, I said, not only can you light it to get my attention, but I can light it to get your attention. Because you've got to do something if something's going wrong or if things aren't right. Don't you? Rather than just let it go on and go on and go on, you've got to do something. Now, I want us to talk a little bit in the time that we have, which we have about 45 minutes or so left to go through some of this. I want us to talk about what romance is, and we need a lot of input from you, because I will not have accomplished what I've set out to do today unless I can create an action from you, one toward the other. And I can't move you to do it. You have to decide to do it yourself. But some of the things we're going to be talking about are so simple, but yet overlooked. And yet they're important. They're important to your mate. They may not be important to you, and you've got to get that through your head, men. It may not be important to you, but it is important to your wife. You've got to understand, women, that something may not be important to you, but it is important to him. Now, we're all different. Now, let me read to you some definitions of romance here and see which one you like the best. Here's one from a widow. Remember, I asked about, you know, the age of the married and how long they've been married. Here's one from a widow who was widowed for 6 years, and she had recently remarried. Here's what she says. When I walked into the room, his magnetism surrounded me like a whirlwind. There was something about him that made my heart leap toward him. His eyes captivated me, and I knew he was the man for me now and forever. I think the women like that one. How about this one? The man's description of his new wife. I was drawn closer to her every time I was with her. There was something special we had together that defies description. Everything took on a different and a special meaning when we were together. I like that word, together. And when I wasn't with her, I thought about her constantly. Life is just different because of her. For those of you who have never been divorced, believe you me, your life will be different without your mate. Guarantee you. I'm talking from first-hand experience. You tend to forget and take for granted the blessing that comes from having a mate, even sometimes when things aren't exactly what they ought to be. How about this? Benny and Theresa have been married for over 40 years. So we have three people basically in that group. Let's see what this description is. We like to sit side by side in front of the fire and look through our picture albums for the past 40 years that we've acquired. We don't say much, but we enjoy these special moments that hold a wealth of memories from four decades of togetherness. It's a special time of closeness for us that others may not understand. Seems to fit, doesn't it? You do that. The final one I want to give to you is from John and Rita. They've been married only 3 years. Here's what they did. Their definition of romance. We hiked together. One weekend each month, we put on our 50-pound packs, head for the mountains, and hike through the forest until we get above the timberline. It takes several hours, but there's nothing like it. We stand on the cliffs, tired and sweaty, with our arms around each other. We drink our hot chocolate and watch the changing color on the mountain peaks. Few couples ever enjoy this type of companionship and closeness, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. Now, which of those is romance? All of them. All of those are romantic for the individuals who wrote them. I turned to Webster's for a definition of romantic, and I was so disappointed with the textbook definition of it. Because, we're talking about a little bit. What is romance? You know, I ask you that question on that questionnaire. What is romance? Anybody want to, what is it? How do you define it? Yes, sir. Okay. I understand what you're saying. I really do. And how do you describe that? You described it. Is it an emotion? Is it a feeling? Is it an awareness? Is it factual? Is it knowledge? Is it, what is it? Okay. Yes, sir. Okay. Or with me. Thank you, Lord. That's like intimacy, too. Okay, that's true. Okay. Yes, sir, Mr. Wary. State of mind is a spirit. Can we say you know it when you're experiencing it? Can we say that? I mean, though we may not be able to define it, you know it when you're experiencing it. Okay? It's an awareness. That's safe. I can say you're aware that something is different. All right? Is it a tingly thing? It can be a tingly thing. Thalia? Okay, remember that. Something that happened that cannot be planned. Now, on your surveys that I passed out to you and I asked you to describe how your mate would look at romance and how you look at romance, the answers there were very good answers that most of you gave. They were kind enough to answer them. But men tend to associate something with romance that women don't. You know what that is? Sex. A man's idea, and a couple of you said that in your surveys. You said, what does your spouse think about romance? Sex. That was it, okay? That's their idea of romance. Where did that come from? Because that's what they see on TV. That's what they read in books. That's what we see in magazines. That's all that garbage that's fed into our minds, and yet it's a whole lot more than that. It's a lot more than that, which many of you indicated here in your surveys. Statistically speaking, women, about 5% of women on surveys like the one I gave you will say that sex is just 5%. But the percentages for men is much, much higher. What do you think women put on there about what is romantic? What is romantic? Feelings. What else? Going on a date. Flowers, candy, cards, quiet time. Anything else? Yeah, Mrs. Marlowe?
I think romance changes. The definition of romance when you're newly married is a lot different than
yes.
The definition of romance when you've been married 35 years.
That's correct. Yes.
Or buy you a gift that you're not accepting. That's really romantic. I think when you get older, then romance is when I just feel that about you.
Okay.
Like when you're in a room full of people and you're over here and he's over there with your eyes closed.
Yes. You connect with one another. That's a good word she used there. When romantic or being romantic is connecting in a special way. Mr. Whitburn? Right. It does, and it's really romantic if you tell her. See? And I'll tell you what's really romantic about it, if you're seated at the table and you say it in front of the kids. See? That's romantic. You know, we talk about verbalizing and being complimentary one toward the other. That's fine and good. You know, there's a time for that in privacy, but it's a time to do it in public, too. You get your kids around the table, and your wife's worked so hard, or she's done this, that, and the other thing, or she's a good parent, or she's really up on discipline, or she's done all the things right, and right in front of the kids, say something positive and affirmative about, you know, sweetheart, you have just been terrific in taking care of all of this and getting this done. Because what does that tell the kids about your relationship? That you, the father, appreciates them. And also, remember, you're role modeling, because these kids one day are going to get married too, and what do you want them doing? Hopefully complimenting their little kids, their children, like they saw mom complimented by dad when they were seated at the table. I know that does a lot for me when I get a compliment in front of my kids, which I really didn't expect. It came out of left field. Because all of a sudden the kids are aware that Betsy loves me enough to do that and is communicated. Okay, we're going to talk about that a little bit. What I want to do in the time that I have is get a lot of ideas from you, but I want to give to you some specific aspects of romance that I don't think any of you can refute and all of you are going to agree with, but you're all going to do it in a different way. The first one is, it is to be romantic, it must have the element of the unexpected. It must have the element of the unexpected. That's what Ms. Hufton was talking about, the element of the unexpected. Can any of you think of something unexpected that occurred that allowed you to connect? Anything come to mind for any of you? Just something unexpected. Ms. Hufton? It was all just happened. You know what's interesting about Thalia's description, and this is something we won't go into today, but I want you to think about it, because romance comes to us in three main ways. You know how it comes to you? It comes to you in the same way that all the senses work. It comes through what you hear. That's audio. Some of you people in here are much more audio sensitive than you are touch sensitive, than you are visual sensitive. Those are the three main ways that we get affected romantically, by what we hear, by what we see, and by what we feel or the touch that comes to us. We've already heard. Listen to the words that Thalia talked about here. She talked about it was a rainy day. The rain's come down. See, then all of a sudden it's a beautiful day and the sun comes out. I mean, I've got this visually being portrayed, and I'm sure it felt a certain way too. All of this is a part of romance, isn't it? And some of you, see, we husbands say, well, if I give her flowers, that's all I've got to do. Well, that's important. You ought to do that. But there might... that's not what moves your mate. That's not romantic. She might be more affected by a compliment for hard work that day. I mean, don't do away with the flowers, because have I ever met a lady yet who didn't like flowers? Have you ever met one? Sandra doesn't care for flowers. Okay, that's fine. Now you got off easy, because you don't ever. Okay. But now what you have to do is know what she does like. I will tell you this, though. I'll bet you, though, if you buy her flowers, she'll accept it. Oh, just want to make that point. Okay. Okay, the element of the unexpected. That's an important part of romance. Yes, sir, Mr. Wary? Sure. Okay. Now there's an interesting question. Here, is it an anniversary? Oh, Mother's Day. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Okay, it's Mother's Day. We want to take a survey of you wives. Which is the most romantic? For him to go out and handpick you flowers on Mother's Day and present you this scrungy bouquet, or to get him through the FTD? All right, ladies, how many say handpicked is more meaningful? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, how many say they like the bouquets from FTD? See? These ladies have had chiggers. See, they know. Allergies and things like that. Okay. That's right. A lot of people don't do that. See, the point is, on Mother's Day, your husband isn't obligated to give you flowers because he's not your mother. Yeah. Yeah, the children... Technically speaking, the children should do it, but how romantic that your husband might be moved to give flowers as well. That's fine. Yeah. I'm just saying technically, to show you how people rightly divide this line, some of the fathers will say, well, I'm not, you know, it's up to the kids to give the flowers, not me. I'll give flowers on the anniversary, that type of thing. But it's a nice gesture, is it not, to go ahead and do it? All right. Yes. That's true. That's true. That's the reason why everyone must evaluate what is perceived as romantic in your situation. Yeah. I think you may be right. All right. One thing I want you to remember about this, be sure, as Mr. Watkins was talking about, don't let the task of daily life consume all of your energy. Take time to think of the unexpected. All right. Now, I want you to take what we're discussing and leave this room when we go home, and I want you to begin to do things, because I'm going to give you a long list of things as we go through here, some of your ideas, because some of the simplest things can mean so much, and yet we forget to do them, or we just don't think it's important. Here we are in church services. What can you do? Yesterday we were in church services. What can you do to be a little more romantic even during church? And I'm going to tell you something. I've watched you for 2 days. For example, this morning, I've watched this group here, and I've seen, like Ronnie right now has his arm around his wife. I have seen who did that and who did not. I've also watched which wives put their arms around their husbands, because that's interesting to me. And then I've seen that some of you have not put an arm around each other at all. But I want to go back to yesterday, and it's church services. And by the way, you are role modeling for my kids. Yes, sir, in church. Because you represent a church, a way of doing things that my kids are going to want to imitate, I hope. And I want to be honest with you. I've got a job on my hands just getting my kids to church. Because they hear about, you know, kids aren't good at this, and you can't do this, and kids are drugs, and this, that, and the other, all these negative things. And when they come to church, they need to see examples they want to imitate that'll bring them back. You understand what I'm saying? So you're role modeling. You're role modeling. All of us are role modeling. Okay? What can you be doing at church that can be just a little more romantic? What are some things? Yes, sir. Here you are. It's time to sing songs. It's time to sing songs. And, just to hold your wife's hand. Isn't that a little romantic? What else? We get the idea. We'll go with it. That's a good idea. Put your arm around there and just pull her close to you a little bit. Anything else? Yeah. However, just do it a little briefly. Yeah, okay. Anything else we can do that's romantic during church? You show respect for each other. Anything else? You smile at each other. Sure, you can just smile at each other. Like Betsy and I, neither one of us can sing worth a hoot. So we're aware of singing to each other, and every once in a while we'll hit a note that is, we really have to smile at each other to let us know how sour that note was. But that we share it. We're connecting with each other. Okay. Anything else? In church services. EB, you can do what? Yeah, it's during church, Maybe, hey, we had a big lunch yesterday, and it's a tendency to get drowsy, and your mate might be a little bit drowsy, so you just, bam! No, you give them a little squeeze. But, there's a lot in that touch, isn't there? It's a little romantic. You didn't have to do it. She knows you didn't have to do it, but you did. You did something you didn't have to do. It's unexpected. Yes, Ms. Worry? That's very, very nice. Nice touch. Isn't that nice? You didn't have to do that. That's good that you do it. How about anything else? Church services. You can do an activity that can be a little bit romantic. Anything? How about it's during church and you just take a little piece of your notes and you write, "I love you." Or Mr. Dart, like this morning, if you'd been sitting there and he was covering some of the verses, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and you're going through it and you're reading those verses together, and he comes to one that really fits you, and you look at your wife and you say, "That's us." Anything wrong with that? You didn't have to do it, but you're thinking. And part of this is you're being creative. Does it make a difference? Yes, it makes a difference because it communicates to your wife a feeling and thought. Yes, sir, Mr. Wary? So she writes, now let me get this straight. Now she writes you little notes about she loves you, and then she takes you out to dinner? Okay. I like that. I love it. And you know what you probably do? You do it. Sure. She knows how to handle you. Yes, sir. Ronnie? Uh-huh. Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, that's nice. So you were missing your wife. You told her about it. All right, you put it on there. That's good. I like that. All right. Remember, surprises, these unexpected little things that come along, they carry a message. Surprises carry a message. What is it? I'm thinking about you, and you're on my mind, and I want your day to be a little bit different. I'm thinking about you, and you're on my mind. But one thing, one caution, let me put a caution in here, is, and this is one of the things that I see people doing, it comes the anniversary, and you always get the very same thing. Do all of you give little gifts and things on anniversaries? I hope you do. That's okay, but do you want something? Would you like something? Would you turn it down if he gave it to you? You wouldn't turn it down if he gave it to you. So there's something you can do. It might help. Right. But what you got to do is be careful not to do the same thing every year. Time after time after time after time after time. Why? Because it's a habit, it's a rut, and it doesn't show any meaning. There's no thought behind it. We won't go into all negative things. Let's, you know, try to be creative. Don't just do the same thing time after time. Okay, so the very first thing I mentioned to you, and you come up with your own examples, and I want you to try to talk about these things as you go home, if you, because you'll have time traveling together. Be sure to do something that's unexpected. Now, okay, we're not in church services. Now we're going home. What can you do once you're out that door that's a little more romantic than what most of you do? Yes, sir. Yeah, here you go, unless you got a pickup or a stick shift, you know. Or even if you got a stick shift, just say, come on over here, you know. But, yeah, get your wife to shift the gears. That'll work. Do something different. But what I'm saying, you're out there and it's time to go home, and what can you do that's a little more romantic? First thing that you would have done if you had been dating, I'll guarantee you, you would have gotten her door. Yes, ma'am.
So when we got ready to get in the car, Ian opens the car door for me. Wait till you get that. And I said, ooh, I'm not used to that. Well, we finished dinner and came back out in the car.
All right. We love that. See how that works? A little role modeling. Way to go, Ian. That's the way. All right. Ministers do it right every time. Okay. But, hey, it was nice, wasn't it?
It was
a nice thing. And if your husband does it for you, it's just a nice little extra thing. He didn't have to. He did it. Okay? Anything else that you can do? Here we are. We're just... Hey, we're not even down the road yet. What are some of these little romantic things you can do? Okay, you're going out the door and you can hold hands walking out there. Okay? That's great. Yeah, that's touching and sensation. Yes, ma'am. That's very important that you would say that, because I want to come down here to some of the things that women and men like to have said to them. And one of the things women, especially in the church, they like to be asked, what do you think about world events? Or what did you think of the sermon today? Because that tells you what? Your opinion is important. Hey, and it's important to me. See, so that's very good. And yes, it establishes worth to each other. You connect. It's a good thing to do. Okay. Good. That's the way we want it to be. We want you all to leave this weekend knowing your personality type, that you are an intelligently sensitive genius who's expressively arrogant. No, we don't know that. We want you to know basically why you do the things you do and yet be moved to make your marriage even better than it is, because I've already looked at the statistics. All of you have pretty good marriages, so it would appear. Okay? All right, let's rush along quickly. Second thing, the first thing was is to be sure to look for the opportunity to do the unexpected. The second thing, which has been touched on several times, is to go date each other, to really go back and date. Many times when we date, you know what we do? If you're on a date, you go out. What do you talk about? Two things. What are the two things? Kids and, well, kids and most likely work, if you're, you know, what you're doing in the work. What ought you to be talking about? Each other. Do what? We'll talk about our eyes. We have a romantic over here. Snuggle up and let me talk about your eyes. Yeah. But the point is that you are looking at each other. Okay? I love to watch people at a restaurant. Do you ever do that? People look at it and they don't ever say a word to each other. They almost avoid talking to each other. And then this guy gets his toothpick and his lip hangs off. He's looking at his wife, and I'm saying, I can sure understand why their marriage is in trouble. Look at that thing, you know. Right, here we go. We're going to go out and we're on a date. What can you do that's a little, first of all, how would you like to be asked romantically to go on a date? EB, after all these years of marriage, how would Colleen like to be asked out? Let's go have a date. What if you sent her a card in the mail and said, you know, a special date coming up, will you be my sweetheart this night? Would she like that? Would you like that, Colleen? Sure you would. Okay. So you're going to go on a date. What are some of the little things, romantic things that you can do on a date to make it better, regardless of how many years you've been married? Okay, you're on a date. You dress up. That's nice. Anything else? You're on a date. How would it have been when you were dating back when you were pre-20s? Would you have gotten the door for her? We already talked about that. You'd open the door for her. You would have asked her. You'd have pulled her up close to you, most likely. Okay, you go to the restaurant. You know what's a nice little touch at a restaurant? You're on a date together. Yeah, definitely you'd want to pull her not too far out, but pull the chair out. Okay. But here's a nice little touch. You walk in there and the hostess comes up to you and you say, listen, if you don't mind, we'd like a secluded table. Oh, your wife hears that. That's sort of nice, isn't it? So we don't have to eat at the counter. All right, and so then you're over there at your little secluded table. What's a nice little romantic thing you can do? The waitress comes up to you, or the waiter comes up to you, and you say, listen, with a little smile on your face and a twinkle in your eye, you say, we're on a date tonight. Take good care of us. You like that? I don't think any of these wives in here would object to that at all. Miss Wary? Uh-huh. 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 All right. We need to write, you need to write us a manual. That's what you do. I love the way you're thinking. That's excellent. That's good. You had a good time, didn't you? Yeah. And you wouldn't want to, you wouldn't want to do it every week. But occasionally is nice. Yes, ma'am.
Charles, I think sometimes with the advent of women having gotten more independent through the years, mm-hmm. a lot of times we tend to not let folks or mate be as romantic as we might want to be because we get this one up to the car and ask for a reason. We pull the door open and go into a restaurant.
That's it. That's interesting. Do you all hear that? That maybe over the years, the independence that's been advocated by certain movements has crept into and attacked femininity, and it's been a turnoff. That's interesting. So we need to be aware of that. Yes, ma'am. No, there's nothing wrong with it at all, especially if he's carrying all the groceries. That certainly fits. But I would say as a part of the romantic part of this, it seems to be more that he should open it for you. It doesn't mean that you can't. And if it makes your husband loves you to open the door for him, do it. Do it. All right? Now, one of the things I'd like to talk to you about this dating thing, and this is important, is your kids, if you have kids, and I guess we could see how many do here, if you have kids, I want you to know something. Your children, especially if you have blended families, are on edge because they're wondering when divorce will hit again in your home. Number of reasons. You may have already been through a divorce and they've been torn up once. Secondly, everybody in their school classroom is getting divorced. They need confirmation that your relationship is good. You know how they see that? They don't hear a lot of yelling. They see romance. They see dating. You educate your children in your marriage by showing them how to date. And believe it or not, it settles them down a little bit. You're role modeling for them. Okay, let's go on to the third thing then. First two, again, to emphasize, to do the unexpected is to make sure that you go out and you date each other. Third thing, romance sometimes includes the impractical. Some men's idea of a great Mother's Day gift is an iron. It's practical, why not? But women, I'm speaking from the man to women here, but women tend to enjoy the impractical, don't you? The impractical. It's not practical to get flowers. It's not practical to send you a cookie message. It's not practical. It's wasting money. It's not practical, like the other day I came out of the parking lot at Luby's and Betsy had tied on a balloon to the window of my car, which said, I love you. That wasn't practical, but I'll tell you what, it was pretty nice. you know, until I have to pay the bill for it. It was nice, okay? Women, I think, tend to like the impractical, but you know what? So do men. Don't you men like the impractical? What do I mean by the impractical? Like, for example, Mr. Watkins, I happen to know that he's a hunter. It's not practical that, you know, that Kitty would buy him a brand new Zeiss binocular. Not practical, but if she saved for several years, because they're very expensive, and all the day on their 25th wedding anniversary presented him with this impractical gift, you think he'd like it? You'd love it, wouldn't you? Yeah, you'd love it. Yeah, Larry'd say, being an accountant, he'd say, how much does it cost, you know? But you probably wouldn't take it back. The impractical. What are some of the things? Yeah, Ronnie? Yeah, that probably would. That would be impractical for your wife, I guess. A lot of the little special things that we have an opportunity to do are impractical. You know, there's no real reason for it except that you just wanted to display some thoughtfulness and kindness. Yes, sir? Okay, that's okay to have something practical. I'm not against having practical things. I'm just saying every once in a while an impractical thing is okay too. You know? Not too often, but okay. Money's too hard. But impractical things don't have to be expensive. They can be inexpensive. For example, let me give you an illustration of something that I've tried to get across to my family. This is, you know, we all have our little quirks. Sandra doesn't like flowers. You do like flowers. Okay. You're practical. Okay. In my case, like I don't like Father's Day attention at all. Is it Father's Day? No, my birthday. I like Father's Day. I don't like my birthday. Because birthdays to me are not important. They never have been important at all. The fact is I don't feel any older. You know, I just keep chucking away. And I think it's a commercial thing. But aside of that, my family likes to do it. And I just said, listen, do me a favor and don't buy me any gifts. I don't want any gifts. I just said, please just forget the gift stuff. And I said, what I want, as I said to the kids especially, I said, just write a card. Because that shows some thought. You went and you picked a card out, and you wrote on it, and probably put Love, Tanya, Italia, and Julie. So you didn't have to just... Didn't cost much. It's not really practical. But it's pretty important to me. And then I asked for that a little bowl of chocolate chip cookies. Because that's practical. Good. And that's how I like to do my birthday, if in fact I do it. But we're all a little bit different. See, some of you wouldn't like that at all. Some like diamonds, whatever it might be. All right, let's go along quickly so we don't run out of time. But don't miss this point. Sometimes romance involves the impractical. Let me give you an illustration of that. I'll go on the other point. So many things come to mind here. Here you are. You're up in Breckenridge, Colorado, and you're taking a ski venture together, those of us who are still younger. And you've been saving, it's a special time. You've only been there once in 10 years, and so what's something impractical that you might do? You surprise your wife with a sleigh ride. Not practical. But I'll guarantee you what, she'll like it. A little sleigh ride, a little music going, snuggled up in the warmth of each other's arms. And you would even like that. All right, it wouldn't be very practical, but do you think it might be romantic? Yeah. I remember one time my wife and I, we were married, we were up in Breckenridge, and we did something totally impractical, and yet I've never forgotten it. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and we were out walking in the coolness of the night, all really cold, and it snowed. And we just stopped along the road, and we threw ourselves back in the snow and made angels. Totally impractical. It was sort of romantic. But we were well clad. But it's something as foolish as that. It's not practical, but I've never forgotten it. All this time. And that's the one thing about impractical deeds. You probably never forget them. You will forget the practical deeds. Right? Okay. Okay, the next thing then, point number four, is romance calls for creativity. What you have to do is discover, like with the worries, we've already discovered some of the things that make their marriage click. You have to discover what delights your partner and then make those delights happen in many different creative ways. If you have become predictable, you are probably in a rut, and you need to try to get out of it if you can. Now, what I wanted to talk about, I have several things here. I just use one example of going out to a restaurant and how you can creatively do it different. Let's say that this is some of the things I put down here. Go to a different restaurant than the one you always go to. Well, I'm going to take you out tonight. Where are we going? Same place we always went for the last 25 years. Well, that's romantic. No, change it up. Go somewhere else. Say, well, I've been thinking about this. We'll try somewhere else. And maybe if the restaurant's close enough, instead of driving, you might walk there. Depends on how old you are and how far away it might be. When you're there, share a plate. Betsy and I do this all the time. We're always sharing a plate. Especially if you're saving money. Betsy does it for a practical reason. I do it for because I must reason. No, we enjoy it. You're sitting here and you enjoy it type of thing. Yet there are times when we get separate plates. Right? How about going and ordering a milkshake with two straws? Remember when you used to do that when you were dating? Order a milkshake and have two straws. Instead of coming right back home after you've had dinner so you can watch Monday Night Football, you go and you go sightseeing together. Look at a different part of the country that you haven't seen before, some home. When you come back home, don't do it like you've always done it. Maybe do it a little bit differently. Come through a different entrance or say something different or hold hands as you come through. When you come back in, don't answer your answering machine. Just spend time talking to each other. Go straight rather to the fireplace, start a fire, and sit down in front of it and just enjoy each other. That breaks up a dinner routine. How about relax and talk about your old dating days before you were married? You know, one of the things we don't do when we talk about it is we stop communicating. And what I thought would be interesting is if you wanted to, is to take a moment. In fact, why don't you do this if you can? Right now, I want you to just take a moment, both of you, your couples if you can. I want you to sit down and write on the back of a sheet of paper what it is that you remember first about your spouse. What is it that you remember first about your spouse? I can remember when first time I ever saw Betsy, just as clear as a bell. Remember it, and I've always remembered it. What do you remember first about your spouse? And then show it to them. Can you do that? See if you can do that. What do you remember first about your spouse? Don't show it to each other yet now. I don't want you to show it to each other. When you think back, what do you remember first about them? Maybe it would be where you were, what was said, what they were wearing, what you liked about them, how they looked, the perfume they were wearing, the music that was on. Who knows what other kind of things might come to mind. Okay. And then, you wouldn't have to share it here, but take the opportunity to let each other see it and then see if they agree. And that might even be a conduit for conversation, a little romance. Okay, the fifth thing I want to mention as we're going, I have just a couple more points for you, is romance involves daily acts of care, concern, and love, which includes listening and giving each other your personal attention. And I could go on and on about a number of things here, but this is an opportunity to bless each other. Now, the word bless, if you check the Greek New Testament words on it, develop into two words, which we call well and word. If I bless you today, what am I doing? I speak well of you in word today. And this is one of the opportunities we're missing in our relationships. We don't speak well of each other frequently enough. Sincere compliments, words of encouragement, and sweet somethings, thoughtfully spoken, brothers and sisters, are romance builders and how they enrich your love life and your marriage. Now, one of the things that's important to me, and Betsy, I don't know if she knows this or not, so she'll learn about it right here. So one of the things that's so important to me is that when I come home, I like to have at least a second of her full, undivided attention. I don't care if she's in the kitchen. I don't care if she's watching TV, doing the laundry, whatever it might be. When I come in, I like to at least get as much attention as a stranger would. You know what I mean by that? I mean, you come home and you say, "Hi, sweetheart." I'm doing this. "Hi, sweetheart." "Oh, you again." Oh, okay. Bad day for Betsy today. I don't want to do that, you know. Because if a stranger were to come at the door and knock, guess what would happen? Most likely you come over and say, well hello, how can I help you? I at least want as much thought as a stranger would give. Okay? And the other thing which I insist on, don't forget your thought, and I really enjoy, is anytime I'm on the phone with someone, I always identify myself by something to be recognized. Obviously, if I say, hi, this is Charles. Or if I say, because we have a nickname, do any of you use endearing terms to each other? We use sweetheart and honey. Hi, honey. Hi, sweetheart. Any of you use those? Any of you not use them? You know, don't call them grub bug or something like that. Just, they're nice little terms, but I'll say, hi, sweetheart. In other words, I don't personally just miss the opportunity to address with an endearing term the one I'm speaking to and just get down to business. Because business can always come later. Now, I realize it may be something critically serious and your child had a broken arm or something like that. You don't have time for that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the day-by-day opportunity you have to just talk to each other. You must let each other know that you are special. And you get as much attention as a stranger would get, hopefully more. So speak well of each other. One of the ways to do this is to take your mate to God in prayer. I'll tell you something, that affects your relationship. When you have gotten off your knees that morning or that night, and you know that you've already talked to God about your mate, you look at them a little bit differently. There's a feeling here. So you lift your mate up to God and ask God to grant them a blessing, to intervene on his or her behalf. You bring God into your relationship. So I cannot emphasize enough the need to express gratitude and affirmation of love from one to the other if you want to have romance in your relationship. This other thing is that's a part of this is to be sure to edify each other, to build each other up. And the Bible is replete with examples about this. You can read them Romans 14, 19, Romans 15, verse 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and verse 11. You've got to be one of the biggest fans that your mate might have, whether in home or on the work or wherever it might be. Let me give you some things I want you to think about. Make a decision today, if you haven't already done so, today, to never again be critical of your partner in thought, word, or deed. Now, I don't mean that you don't help them to point out their shortcomings and faults and weaknesses. There's a difference between that and really being acid critical. And people get that way when they stop caring. Yes, sir. Yeah, ridicule, or, you know, Bible even says, you know, don't call your brother a fool. Mr. Dart was talking about that earlier. Don't use that kind of language one toward the other. All right? Because we obviously are going to be critiqued. It's okay to be critiqued, but not in a critical fashion with an acid tongue. Secondly, I want you to spend time studying your spouse so you develop a sensitivity to the areas where you can make a difference. Think about their positive qualities, not just their negative qualities. Will you make yourself a promise right now and to your mate that you will verbalize some type of praise and or appreciation to them today? You all can do that. Husbands, publicly and privately, show your wife how special she is to you. Now, I want to just give this point, and this is why this is, some of these things are so important to me. You see, I am a victim of divorce. Faye is a victim of divorce. Some of the others of you are in here. Let me just tell you something. Those of you who have been married, even after all these many years, that's great. Stay married. For those of us, though, who are still vulnerable, a word used earlier, if I come home and Betsy doesn't smile at me, there are lots of women out there who will. And you can't resist a smile. You see the point I make? If you're not being smiled at home, there are women out there who are going to smile at you. Oh, and you won't pay any attention to it because you're a good Christian, God-fearing man. I don't want to do. If you come home and you don't get compliments at home, wives, from your husbands, you all know that it's out there in the workplace, isn't it, Paula? Mrs. Dart would know that, being a real estate agent and so forth. You know, Colleen, all of you. It's out there. It doesn't really make a difference what age you are either, does it? And if you're not getting it at home, you all of a sudden notice that you did get it elsewhere. Right? So it's a little safeguard to keep your marriage intact. You don't think romance is important? And a little smile, a little compliment, and a little tenderness, and a little special thought. Take it from someone who now knows. Do it. Because I don't want Betsy to get some other man's attention. And I don't think any of you all do either. Okay, let's go on quickly then to these other points. Oh, let me give you this quickly. Larry went over time, so I'll go over time. Cherish behavior. Somebody said I would go over time. That was the buddy did. Okay, but I'm still out of time here. I'll just cut it off. Let me give you some of the cherished behaviors that apparently almost everyone, there might be some exceptions, but almost everyone likes. Here they are. Greet me with a hug and a kiss before we get out of bed every morning. You know, just snuggle them up close and give them a kiss on the cheek. Say good morning. People like that. When you're out walking, somebody brought this up, bring back a flower or a leaf. Something that's pretty. You didn't have to do it, but you did. During the day, call each other and say something pleasant. Well, I'm just sitting here and I was thinking of you. Hope you're thinking of me. Put a favorite record on and come sit next to each other and hold hands. See, there you're getting the audio and the touching. Turn off the lights and light a candle when you have dinner. Any of you done that recently? Don't light the big one. The small one. When you come home, ask how your day went. Pick me up at work and take me out to dinner. Pick me up at work. Surprise me. Take me out to dinner. Put a surprise love note in my lunch or an article of my clothing. I know recently when I went deer hunting up there, Betsy had little notes everywhere. In fact, I went on the Discovery Trail. I mean, I was trying to wonder where she put them in. There were about four of them. They were in my shaving kit, and they were in my clothes, in my Bible. They were everywhere, you know. I still don't know if I found them all. I just know that she put a lot in there. It made a difference. She told me that even though we weren't together, she was thinking of me. She thought enough of me when we were together to have me think about her when we were away. Okay. Tell the children in front of me that I'm a good parent. Most people would like that. When we sit together, put your arm around me. Have coffee with me in the morning before we wake the children so we can have a 5-minute talk together before the day gets started. Date me and make all the arrangements. Hold me at night before we go to sleep. Now, one of the things that Betsy and I try to do, and you realize we're starting over and we're not up to year one yet, but we try to make sure that at night, that before we go to sleep, the last thing we say to each other is, what do you think it is? I love you. Because, you see, I know what it's like to go to sleep and know that your wife does not love you. See? And it's a terrible feeling. So does Betsy, by the way. Any of you not like that idea? It doesn't cost you anything. Okay. Ask my opinion when I talk to you about this, about world affairs or the sermon at church. Just hug me and say that you love me for no special reason. No barbit in there. Greet me with a smile when we first see each other at the end of the day, using endearing words with me sometime. And I really like this last one. It ties in with what Mr. Marlowe was talking about earlier. When we are out, wink or blow me a kiss. Even across a crowded room. Makes a difference, doesn't it? Even after all those years. After 45 years. Okay, the final thing I had to give you here is remember that romance involves a commitment. Because every day of our lives, your life is going to be marked by the highs and lows of romance. But if you have a commitment there, it'll help you through those ebbing backs and forth and allow you to have a strong and healthy romance. Okay, I have here quickly just all sorts of little things because I did want this to be informative to you. Let me give you a lot of different things that will help with romance in your marriage. This is the final things. I have listed 50 things here. And I don't have time to explore them. I just want to run through some of them, see if you like them. And by the way, I want you to try a few of them, because it's not going to cost Dennis tonight anything to take Paula in his arms tonight, which he probably does anyway, and say, "Sweetheart, I really love you. Thanks for putting in so much effort and work into this weekend. It was terrific." You'll probably get breakfast in the morning. Yeah. It doesn't cost a lot. Just got to do it. Okay, listen to some of these things. Sketch your dream house floor plan and talk about the possibilities for each room, because then you're doing what? Hopefully you're not fighting, you're talking to each other. Write a love story about how you met and give it to each other. See if they agree. List your spouse's best qualities in alphabetical order. There may only be two, but you know, A and B it. All right? Take a tour together, hand in hand, of a museum or an art gallery. Park in a secluded area and kiss in your car. Remember when you used to do that? I mean, you wouldn't want to do this every night like you used to back then, but you might want to do it, you know, more frequently than once every 6 months. Okay, this is important. On your survey, this one is, place great emphasis on the little changes you have made about appearances. One of the highest ranking numbers on your survey, because we got to know our audience, is right here to cover this with you. Remember the question, when it comes to romance in our marriage, now my view is, the majority of you put, we do have a romantic side of us that we can turn to on when we want to. 11 of you chose that one. But this is the one that was sad. This is the reason why this seminar is important. 7 of you put, we are romantic, but at times I feel we are getting less and less romantic. Change it today. Husbands and wives, don't let that happen. Okay? When it comes to romance, the vast majority of you answered it. 15 of you put, both of us are romantic, but in our own way. That's the answer that we really wanted. Now, this one down here, sometimes I am unable to get romantic with you because. What do you think was the most frequent answer? There were two. I am concerned that you might reject me or not respond when I become romantic. How do you get over that? Talk to each other about that fear. Talk to each other about it today as you go home. If you're one of these people, take the survey home and you check that. Talk to each other about it. And learn how to express to your mate that fear and that worry. It'll probably go away pretty soon. The other one that was checked is, my mind is elsewhere, like on daily practical concerns. Now, on the other one, have you done all these things? I said, have you, and this is the one that got the most yes answers. Have you, 6 of you said, yes, you have quit caring about your appearance when your spouse comes home. Don't do that. I know you can't be, what do you call it, primped up all the time. But you can at least be aware that your husband gets home at a certain time and try to be a little bit, you know, have your hair in order and all that. That's easy to do. And then the other one is, you said, have you, and 6 of you said, you have no interests or hobbies in common. You know what's fun about that? Choose one together and let it become a hobby that the two of you have. The other thing down here, 7 of you put, you and your spouse have fewer and fewer couple friends. 7 of you said, yes, you do. You can change that. Join a club. Come to church more frequently. Go afterwards to people's homes. And the one that got the most votes of all is, you feel less sexually attractive. 12 of you said you feel less sexually attractive to your mates. So you might want to be aware of that. That's typical then of this audience and something we need to work on. Okay, then I guess, right here, and I'll close up real quickly here. For some of these other things, remember to look into your spouse's eyes while they tell you about their day. You know, say, well, sweetheart, how'd your day go? What's that? I'm glad your day was like mine. Okay. That's not what you want. Read to each other in bed. Take a horse-drawn carriage ride. Turn the lights down during dinner. Play music in the bedroom. Go swimming in the middle of the night. Hey, yeah. Write a poem for your spouse. Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm sorry I ever married you. Okay, you don't need to do that. Run through the sprinklers on a hot day. Some of you, I know that's out of reach. You can't do that. You wouldn't want to do it. But it's fun. Your kids will probably do the same thing. They do. Make up nicknames for each other. Well, this is Tuba, and this is... No, you don't want to do that. Right. Tell your spouse, I'm glad I married you. Find the right moment and tell them that you're glad that they married you or that you married them. Create a special holiday. We have Parents' Day, Grandparents' Day, Father's Day, anniversaries, birthdays, AIDS Day. Create your own day. This is the gross day. All right. Go horseback riding on the same horse. As we get older, it's going to have to be pretty stout. If you live up north, build a snowman together. Go fishing together with one pole. The Haleys ought to know how to do that. See. Give your mate a foot massage. Hey, that's romantic. I want to know if you do that tonight, okay? Okay. I like this one. Kiss in the rain. You ever take a walk in the rain together anymore? You know, I guess there's certain... But I like... That's the kind of thing I still like to do, walk in the rain, as long as it's not a downpour. Build sandcastles on the beach. Whisper something romantic to your spouse, even in a crowded room. Put perfume on your bed sheets. And last one, so I'll give to you, there was many of them here, and this is something I particularly enjoy, is to tickle wrestle in bed. You ever do that? One of the things which has always been an indicator of the strength of my marriage is how much laughter there is. If there's any laughter in my marriage, I normally think that things are in pretty good shape. When nobody's laughing anymore, I get very worried.